right, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to read verses 17 through 19. And let's do this. I'll read verses 17 and 18. You join me on verse 19, if you will. And then we'll read them. I'll pray, and then you may be seated. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. I'll read verses 17 and 18. You join me on verse number 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you. Holy Spirit of God, would you empower me? Would you allow me to help these your people? Lord, I sure do love them. I love their families. I love the work that you've given us here to do. And I pray that you just help us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In recent days, the news, I don't know how many of you keep up with local news, but they're getting ready to build a gigantic Procter & Gamble plant here in Martinsburg, 4.35 million square feet under one roof. That's 111 acres under roof. It's going to be the largest distribution and manufacturing on the East Coast for Procter & Gamble. Well, they're looking at somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 jobs permanently, plus all the infrastructure and everything else that's going to be built up. That means more people, amen, and more jobs and more opportunity, and I'm all for that. That means our work is about to increase, just so you know. I want to be able to help you. I'm going to start without scripture in a moment here. We'll get back to it, but I got to tell you a story that may help you understand the key to tonight. This is last Sunday morning and this morning I preached kind of hard. Tonight I just want to talk with you for a little bit. I really do. This isn't one of Brother Hiles' talks, Brother Hawkins. This is a real one. Mrs. Hawkins went, when Brother Hiles said, I'm not going to preach tonight, I'm just going to talk. It was, you better have your combat boots on, you better be strapped in, buckled in, and your helmet on, because it's coming, trust me. But I really just want to talk to you heart to heart for a moment. Almost 26 years ago, my soon-to-be wife and I had an appointment with her pastor, Dr. Les Hobbins, in Temperance, Michigan, Luce Avenue Baptist Church. Now, Brother Hobbins was a French-Canadian. He was 4'10", and he was a powerhouse. That church was running about, I'm guessing, 1,500 or so at the time, at least. Massive bus ministry. And I'll promise you, he could not preach behind this pulpit without a stool. My wife is taller than he was. you know, you go to meet a pastor and you say, oh, hello there. And I'm not a tall person. I was almost a foot taller than he is. And he was a neat man who he saw tens and tens of thousands of people saved and baptized. Just an amazing fella. We went to see him. We were engaged. We were to be married. I think it was the first part of June or the end of May, just about a month or so before we got married. And he wanted to counsel us for a while. And by the way, he should have, just so you know. And I was excited about it. But we went to his office that day, and it was just my future wife and I and Pastor Hobbins there. And in that, I don't even know how long we were there. I'm guessing 45 minutes, maybe an hour. I couldn't even tell you how long it was. It's been so long ago. But I remember distinctly being there. Those, maybe that hour, probably in many ways did more to change my life than just the fact that I was getting married. The advice he gave in just a few moments revolutionized my life personally. I want to help you. That day, he and I and my wife were talking, and he said, now, Craig and Debbie, there's a lot of things about marriage, and we talked finances, and we talked in-laws and outlaws, and we talked church, and we talked the will of God, and he grilled me up one side and down another. I was marrying her before she graduated from college, and I about six times had to promise him that I was putting her through the last year of her college. Come hell or high water, I was going to do it. And he wasn't willing to, he was a little stubborn on that point. And after she graduated, he walked up, shook my hand, and thanked me for keeping my promise to him and to her parents. I said, Brother Hobbins, I told you, I said, I'm not leaving here till she gets her degree. And I said, she started, I'm not going to cheat her or her family out of this. She earned it, she's going to get it. And I paid for the last part of it, amen. And I said, I have no problem with that. But we talked about many different things that day. And he talked to us as a future married couple. He made one little part of this whole thing that revolutionized my life. And I want to share it with you today. He made a statement. He said, Craig and Debbie, the key word to any successful marriage, I can bring it down to one word, communication. He said, it's not love, it's communication. He said, if you have love but you can't communicate it, you'll have a lousy marriage. Whew. He got my attention. You know, do-do-do-do-do, here it goes, you know. I'm 22 years old. Bible college graduate, I know everything, and he just slapped me upside the head. Let me tell you, his hands weren't real big, but they were quick. Pow! Oh man, where'd that come from? After nearly 26 years of marriage, after having lived in Indiana, California, South Carolina, back in Indiana, and West Virginia, working in six different churches, can I tell you something? He was right. He was right. 26 years almost, we've never yelled at each other. She's not raised her voice at me. I've never raised my voice at her. I can't tell you that we've agreed on everything. You say, why? She's a woman. She's not going to agree with me all the time. And I'm a man. There's some things I won't agree with her on just because I am a man. Amen? It doesn't mean that we always agreed 100% with each other, but we've never yelled at each other. There's no way I could tell you how many tens and probably hundreds of thousands of decisions we've made together. Brother Hobbins was right. He was 100% right. Communication is the key. This is where he changed my life. He said, matter of fact, someday you'll have children, Lord willing. I think he cursed me. You know, I now know why God gives you children when you're young. Because when you get old enough to know what you did, you'd never do that. You'd never put yourself through that. Amen, Brother Jimmy? he said, communication is the key to your relationship with your children. It's the key to parenting. He said, you're going into the ministry. It'll be the key to your ministry. He said, communication is the key to any relationship. Wow. Now, Brother Hawkins, I thought I knew a lot. And I thought, who is this 4'10", little French Canadian telling me what the key word to life is? But I had enough sense. My dad wasn't too far away and would have whacked the snot out of me if I had talked back. I just sat there and listened. But boy, the more he talked, the more it was getting in. Communication is the key to marriage. Communication is the key to parenting. Communication is the key to being a good child. Communication is the key in friendship. It is the key in any and all relationships. For all practical purposes, communication is probably the key word to the Christian life. It's either God talking to us talking to God, or us talking for God. That's the whole Christian life. God talking to us, that's there. Us talking to God, that's prayer. And us talking for God, that's soul winning, counseling, teaching, preaching. That's the Christian life. Most failures in relationships of any kind are communication errors. Guarantee it. Teens struggle with mommy and daddy. Pardon the use of that term that way, but they still are. You struggle with your parents because of bad communication, either yours or theirs. Young people who do not listen to their moms and dads don't communicate well. You have troubles at work. Generally, most of your trouble is at work isn't that you don't know the work. It's bad communication. It really is. Wives and husbands struggle with one another because of poor communication. Churches struggle with church members who get disgruntled over poor communication. Friendships struggle because of poor communication. I hate to tell you, I've heard a lot of keywords to the Christian life. Probably the one that's meant the most and the most sense to me is the word communication. Tonight, I want to teach you very quickly a wonderful truth that I've experienced over the last 2.5 decades of my life, and I want to help you. Number one, you ready? The Bible says that they that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Wow. Willing to communicate. First point, true communication is a two-part thing. True communication is a two-part thing. If I turn this microphone off, I can preach, but you don't hear me as well. And I won't communicate as well. I turn it back on, you have a microphone that is a receiver that goes back to the transmitter that goes to the speakers that goes back to you. It is a two-part issue. Not only do I have to be speaking, but that has to be receiving it so that it can amplify it so that you can hear it. Everybody understand that? Did you know that if I told Brother Stoltz, Brother Stoltz, I need you to get up and go sit at the piano. Now, I can tell him to get up and go sit at the piano. But if I didn't make it clear enough, now, Brother Stoltz, now I need you to get up and go to the piano. That is communication. Just because I said, that's good enough, Brother Stoltz. Just because I said it doesn't mean I communicated it. Everybody understand that? Parents, be careful. Just because you say it and you understand it at 30, 35, 40, 45, 75 years old, whatever you are, just because you say it one time doesn't mean you communicated it. Fellas, when you talk to your wife, just because you understood it, she doesn't think like you think. Ladies, because you say, pick up your clothes to your husband, he does. Now, he throws them in a different place, but he did pick them up. Don't get mad at him because he's not thinking like you're thinking. Everybody understand what? Man, I hit just where I wish you could have seen how many people commented on that one right there. So you picked them up off the floor and put them on the dresser. Okay, you picked them up. Amen, fellas? Just because you didn't tell him where to put them, be careful where you tell him to put them, but it takes a sender and a receiver. Just because you say something does not mean that you communicated it well. Now, part of that means this. We need to be good listeners. We need to be good listeners. If you come to my office for advice, you'll find out I'm a pretty good listener. I have a way of asking certain things of you, and then I sit back and just let you talk for a while. Usually you'll talk in a big enough circle, I can figure out what the problem is. Say, what is that? I've learned how to listen. Then I have to communicate how to get out of whatever we're in and go from there. It doesn't mean that it's unsolvable, but you've got to be a good listener when it's time for you to listen. Fellas, you know what I'm talking about. You hear her words, but you don't know one thing she said. It's called selective hearing. Yeah, buddy. And wives, you can do the same thing. You're real good about it, too. Don't you just poke your elbow in his ribs right now, amen? Brother Hawkins, your problem is you need a hearing aid. Now, yeah. We need to be good listeners. Can I tell you something? Most students in school have troubles because they don't listen to their teacher. They don't listen to direction. Most employees have problems because they don't listen to the employer. Well, I thought I... Your problem is this. You're not supposed to think at that point in time. You're supposed to do. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. So we need to be better listeners. And the Bible says we need to be better obeyers, better doers. Bible talks about being a doer of the word of God. But be doers, not just hearers only. Can I tell you what the problem with the Christian life is? People hear, but they don't do. Did you catch that? How many people know they're supposed to go to church, but weren't in church today? How many people know they're supposed to read their Bible, but they don't do it? How many people know they're supposed to tell others about him, but they don't do it? They're a hearer of the word, but they're not a doer of the word. I used to tell my children, especially as they were smaller, hey, listen to me. I don't want you just hearing my words. What did I say? Repeat it back to me. When I could get the instruction repeated back to me, then I knew we had communication. Then I'll find out if I have obedience. Amen. As a teacher, I've taught junior high level, high school level, college level. I've taught a little bit of elementary a few times, and I couldn't stand it, but I've done it. Now, you say, why? Little kids scare me when it comes to teaching like that. It's just hard for me. I can do it, but man, is it a lot of work. And it's just not that area that I enjoy as much. But as a teacher, at college level, let's say, I constantly reviewed. At high school level, I constantly reviewed. Tony Barnes is sitting down here. He took one of my history courses. You took one of my history classes, didn't you? World history? Tony could probably take one of my world history classes, and it's been years since he graduated, and he could probably still pass it. Not because it was so easy, but because it was review after review after review after review. I reviewed every day of class from one test to the next. All the tests were cumulative. By the end of the semester, they'd have almost 300 questions on a test, and the average grade on a 300-question test from high schoolers was in the 90s. Not because I'm such a great teacher, but if they could get 300 facts in a semester, I felt successful. They understood the principle that went with each of those facts. And that's how you teach. It's constant repetition and making sure they understood it. It always amazed me that a parent would get upset with me on the third test in a semester, and they'd say, well, they missed so many of these. And I said, yeah, let me show you something. Come to my office. And I would pull out and say, okay, this was test one, this was test two, this is test three. They were still missing questions from test one and test two by the bucket load, and it's because they didn't study either time. I said, I give it to them. I said, come here. I'd pull the kid in. I'd say, do I read from this word for word every day? Yes, sir. It's amazing how the parent turned their anger from me to somebody else. It wasn't a lack of communication on my part. It was a lack of doing on their part. They heard it all the time. Everybody understand that? Boy, I'm having fun right here. We need to slow down and think so we can say things in a way that people will clearly be able to understand. Fellas, your wife, most of your wives, isn't going to understand construction terms. If I told my wife, I need you to, give me a sketch for the kitchen, how you want it laid out, that would be miserable. Say why? She doesn't think mechanically drawing. She doesn't think in blueprint mindedness. Say, what did you do? Now, we've gone through a major overhaul of my kitchen. New paint, ripping wallpaper off, tore up the linoleum, put ceramic tile down, tore the countertops off, put new countertops in. We moved the island and put it in a different spot. And all this, getting ready to put backsplash up and trim and everything. Okay, honey, where do you want this? I don't know. Okay, let's go through this. So we pick it up, move it. How is it here? I'm not sure I like that. What about this? That's a little better. What about this? And wait 24 hours and figure out where she wants it. We go on. Say, does that frustrate you? Not at all. But once it's down, she's moving it, not me. My dad might, but I'm not. I don't get upset. Say why? She doesn't think mechanically like that. And by the way, some of you, if it's not drawn on graph paper, you couldn't figure it out. You ought to see some of the things I draw drawing-wise. I look at my dad and say, Dad, what about ch-ch-ch-ch? Yeah, I think we can build that. Brother Kermit's real good at that. Good night. Draw it on a napkin and it comes out like a work of art, you know. Some people think different ways. When we had our Valentine banquet, sorry, we built the little hut over here over the Lord's Supper table. That was a little thing I did in my office on a 3x5 card with my secretary, showed her what I wanted and said, think we could do this? Oh, yeah, that would be easy. Where are we going to get the bamboo? I said, a whole bunch of it down by Harry and Kathy's house in the woods. I'll cut it down, amen. So Kirsten and I went down there and whack, 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 whack. Tony gave me a machete, amen. I was having fun. Pow, pow. I got more bamboo than I needed, but I was having fun cutting it down. Amen, Brother Mike? Boom, boom, boom. That thing was fun. I might have to borrow that again just to have some fun one of these days. And I didn't cut myself with it. Praise the Lord. Amen? But I do have to tell you a funny story. I'm dragging two 20-foot poles behind me and a machete in the other hand. And Kirsten's got a piece of bamboo. She's coming ahead of me. And somebody stops and said, is he chasing you? And I got a machete in my hand. It was hilarious. I told her before we got, somebody's going to probably pull over and think I'm, you know, doing something crazy to you. So it's okay. And we didn't get halfway back to the church. Somebody pulled over. You okay, sweetheart? Is that guy chasing you? I mean, it was great. No, he's my pastor. It was funny. I wish you could have seen the guy's face. It was funny. But anyway, we need to learn how to communicate. Not everybody thinks on the same wavelength. Don't get frustrated with people that don't think the way you think. Did you ever notice I probably illustrate the same point about six different ways? That way I know one of them hit you. That's what it is. It doesn't mean only one way works. All of them work. Did you know that you can mow your grass more than one way? You don't have to mow it the same way every time. Sometimes I mow it this way. Sometimes I mow it this way. Sometimes I mow it at the diagonal this way. Sometimes I mow it diagonally this way. You say, why? Because I get bored doing the same thing over and over again. And it's not good for the grass, so I do it different ways so that it doesn't all grow one way and not the other. And it's a little healthier for the lawn. Guess what? None of those is bad. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So if my kids mowed the backyard the same way every time, I didn't get upset. At least they did what I asked them to do. Well, bless God, they should. Well, maybe they didn't, but they at least got it done. You can teach them the finer points of it later, amen? Just teach them to not put their finger in it while it's running. Fellas, sometimes you need to slow down and explain it at your wife's level. Let me say it this way. Sometimes you need to speed up and explain it at her level. She's not a simpleton either. Sometimes you just need to let her ask the questions. Boy, that one went over like a lead balloon. Parents need to slow down and think how to explain it to a child or a teenager. Did you know a 10-year-old doesn't know as much as a 40-year-old? Say, how long did that take you to learn that? About that long. Did you know a 10-year-old taking the trash out when the trash can's bigger than they are, sometimes if you've got it packed full and it weighs about 400 pounds, is going to struggle? I didn't say you don't have them do it, but then don't get mad at them if there's trash all the way along the way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, you do solve it when you put deer in there in the middle of July and August, and it's filled full of deer goop, and it's been 100 degrees out for about 5 days, and the trash can just walk there on its own from everything that's in there. They have no problem. That, no, Dad, stinky stuff, yours. You do that. Amen? Now, wait a minute. It's pretty bad when the trash men don't even come pick it up. It's real bad. They leave you notes. Do not leave it like that again. Oh, I've had that before. Anyway, you can't expect them to understand what you understand. Well, bless God, I told my 5-year-old how to do this one time, and they didn't do it. No. Then they turn 13, and you got to start all over again. The air conditioning's on. Don't go outside and leave the door open. Yes, sir. Turn around, walk out, and leave the door hanging wide open. Well, they heard me. Yeah, they heard you, but that's what kids do. Do you know how many times you're going to tell a kid to quit running in their life? I don't care how many times you tell them. They've got two speeds, wide open and sleeping. That's it. Did you know... I'll use the age of 3. Did you know 3-year-olds do things that normal children don't do? You know that I'd be sitting there and all of a sudden my 3-year-old boy, he'd be wearing my wife's shoes coming down the steps and I'd laugh at him. He wasn't going to be a sodomite, but he saw something that looked fun, so he tried it. And guess what? He found out it didn't work. I wasn't worried about it. Now, if he was 13 wearing my wife's shoes, we're in trouble. My daughter came along and she had all these little princess shoes. You know, you buy a little plastic kit, you know, $5 thing at the dollar store. And, you know, she's playing with one of the brothers and he decides, I wonder if I could walk in them things. You know, he's 6 or 7. Hey, go for it, Slick. You're going to find out you're going to break your neck. Say, did you let him? Yeah. Now, he didn't enjoy it. I knew, hey, let's get through this thing one time, get it over with, amen? I said, one of them got him on one day. He said, what do you think, Dad? I said, don't walk outside like that. Amen. I said, you're going to attract attention you don't want. Yeah, you're right, Dad. I didn't run around calling him a sodomite. He just had to learn. Everybody understand? fellas, I'm not going to ever wear a pink shirt. If you do, great. I have no problem with it. I'm not going to. But if my wife paints we've got a couple rooms in our house that have pink in them. I don't give a flip. My bedroom could be hot pink, lavender, and purple. When I'm going in there, it's dark when I get in there and dark when I get out. I don't have to look at the color. I'm closing my eyes to go to sleep. Why should I give a flip? I really don't care. I don't. You say, why? It doesn't bother me. I don't care if she has pink sheets and pink pillowcases and pink top. I'll sleep on it. It doesn't bother me. You say, why? That's my room. I don't give a care. I'm going to sleep. You want to come ooh and ah over it? Go ahead. You want to call me whatever you want to call me. I don't spend much time in there anyway. And when I do, I'm usually slobbering on the pillow. Everybody doing all right? Now, you say, well, I'm not going to. Okay, but I'm not going to fight with my wife over that. We've communicated about it. I don't care. She picked out all the colors for the kitchen and when we do the next room and the other things. She goes and picks it all out. She asks my opinion on things. We talk it through. And we get through it. You say, why do you let her pick the colors? That way I don't get in trouble, amen? I don't care. I really don't. That's called communication. Okay, I got to hurry. So, true communication is a two-part thing, hearing and speaking. Number two, we are to communicate the gospel. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to use our Bible just for a second here. Galatians chapter 2. Back just about, 10, 15 pages from where you're at probably. Galatians chapter 2, look at verse number 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of the reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Notice the term there. Communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. We are supposed to communicate the gospel to people. Did you know some people you have to explain it just a little differently because they don't quite get it the first time? Let me take you to, I'll read another verse because most of you will never find this one. But I'm going to go to the book of Philemon. I'm not sure I can find it. Hebrews, I'm too far. Folks, I'm breaking in a new preaching Bible, and I'm telling you, it's hard on me because everything's in a different spot. Philemon, verse number 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Talking there about the faith that is in you, that's your salvation there. Folks, we are supposed to communicate the gospel. We are to all go out and give the gospel. I could take time, and we're not going there, but if you went to the book of Jude, it says, and of some, having compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. If you notice there in Galatians 2:2, it says of Paul that he communicated unto them the gospel that he preached to the Gentiles. Watch this. He said, but privately to them which are of reputation. To the well-known people and the big shots, I talked to them one-on-one so as not to embarrass them in front of followers. He was communicating each and every person at their level. Does that not make sense? Communicating the gospel is as individual as childbirth. All three of my children were hatched the same way, but guess what? All three of them were different. Now, I said this morning, I'll throw it out, and I'm moving on to the last point, and we'll go eat pizza or something, amen? I'm sick and tired of the direction fundamentalism is headed. We've got Baptist churches, so-called, that have turned to this discipleship stuff. The term discipleship is not in the Bible, and disciples in the Bible were full-time servants. They're getting into these, well, we've got to have discipleship classes, and we need to teach discipleship. Can I tell you what God's plan is, new converts? Grow in grace. Yes, sir. How do you grow in grace? Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church, soul winning, being there every time doors open. Amen. That's called growth in grace. Discipleship is I'll use a term that I can understand. It's more like Bible college. Discipleship is for those that are planning on serving God full time or want extra training to serve God like that. That's what discipleship is. We got more people discipled than we have people going out soul winning. They're getting away from soul winning in this big term discipleship. Say, what is that? That's an excuse not to go soul winning. That's all it is. Folks, the best plan of growing in grace is taking the faith out to somebody else and giving the gospel to somebody. I can't tell you how excited I was to watch Brother Barnes walk that boy down the aisle, kneel right there, and win that boy to Christ this morning. I was about to have a spell. Then I got Brother Gus over here talking to one, got my daughter walked back, talked to another one. She got saved. After church was over, there was another lady. She was white-knuckling during the whole invitation. Brother Jim didn't even see it, but he walked up, met her after church, started talking to her, noticed something, said, well, ma'am, do you know 100% sure you're going to heaven? Tears started to run down her eyes, and he won her to Christ. Hey, we get them saved by accident around here. I was getting ready to walk up and shake the lady's hand and thank her for coming to church, and Brother Jim just said, do you know 100% sure you're going to heaven? You say, what'd you do? I kept walking. I wasn't going to bother him. Man, I could see the conviction. She had just heard me rant and rave for 45 minutes. I knew she was going to get saved. Brother Jim's like a bulldog. He doesn't back off. Amen. My wife said, was that lady okay? Because she came out in tears. I said, yeah, Brother Jim was talking to her. She got saved. I didn't even know that for sure, but I knew because I know Brother Jim. I saw what was going on. She was already tearing up, and he just got to the question. I heard her say, no. He said, do you want to? Yeah. I thought, man, this is cool. I better go back to my office because I'm about to shout. Can I tell you something? When you get excited about seeing people get saved, you're going to grow. Trust me. You'll grow. Now, I got to move on. Number three, and lastly. Everybody look at me. I love you. We are not to participate in evil communication. We are not to participate in evil communication. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians. Remember, I'm just a delivery boy. These aren't my words, these are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse number 33. Some of you parents need to mark these verses, give them to your young people. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Everybody look at me. We live in one of the rudest, bad-mannered societies the world has ever seen. Can I tell you why? Look at the communication in our country today. The filth of our music. The vileness of Hollywood. The literal rebellion and witchcraft of games. Everybody doing all right? Social networking. Internet in general. And I'll die going to my grave saying this, but you parents that have young people who have internet access unrestrained, you have a hole big enough in your head to drive twin Mack trucks through. If you don't know what your children's Facebook or social media account is and you're not on it regularly, you need your head fixed. I don't know how else to say that. Say, why? Don't you trust my children? I don't trust them any more than I trust me, and I don't have one. I don't have time for that kind of stuff, first of all. Second of all, there is so little good done with it. Why do I want to participate with it? Man, no takers on that one. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Wow. That means you shut your mouth about what wrong you know somebody did. Quit spreading gossip. My children have grown up in a preacher's home. Do you know what? There has been things happen. And they're the last ones to find out. And they didn't find out from me. They found out from somebody else running their mouth. Dad, did you know? Yeah, I knew a long time ago. How come? Because it's none of your business. Now shut up about it. Don't you tell anybody else. You do, you're in trouble. We can go around talking about that stuff. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Corrupt communication, that's what you talk about. Parents, you need to find out what your children are talking about and how they talk. Everybody doing all right? Better move on to the next verse. Turn to the book of Colossians. Just a few pages over to the right there. Colossians chapter 3. Some of you can't handle much more of this. Look at verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Watch this. Filthy communication out of your mouth. God said put that off. Can I tell you something? Some of you didn't get saved till later in life, and there's things that came out of your mouth when you would do something that should not come out now that you're saved. We talk about it too much. We talk about sin way too much. We talk about, by the way, evil communication is trying to destroy someone else. And listen to this. I'll give you an illustration. I happen to know a certain situation in another church in another state. I know somebody that had gone there and they were not doing right when they got there. You know, I didn't call the pastor and say, hey, you need to watch so-and-so. They've done this and you're going to have troubles. I knew in time it would make itself known. I didn't have any jurisdiction to do that. Everybody doing all right? Who am I to accuse somebody? They weren't my church member anymore. Or maybe not even at all. Or been so long, I had no business saying it. What right do I have to call another preacher and say, ha, I know this? That's called gossip. Maybe the purpose of leaving was to get right. Everybody doing all right? Who am I to judge? Whew. Man, you could hear a pin drop in here. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. I'll look at one more verse and then I'll finish up here. Look at verse number 37. Matthew 5 verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Everybody listen to me very carefully. Communication needs to be yes and no. Communication needs to be very clear. You know, when you're born, it's not male, female, or we don't know yet. Everybody doing all right? When you're hatched from your mama, the doctor looks at you and says, that's male or female. There's no space that says to be determined. That's how stupid our world is. Well, I was born this way. No, you weren't. You could have been born in a garage. That doesn't make you a car. Everybody doing all right? You could have been born in a car and that doesn't make you an engine. You weren't born going vroom, vroom, because you were born in a car. That's stupid. We answers need to be based on truth. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. When you tell your kids yes, mean yes. When you tell your kids no, mean no, not after the 20th time. My dad always said this, I'll speak once, second time you'll know what I mean. Man, do I remember that. Say, what was that? And then when you're about to get whomped, oh, I got it, Dad, too late, you got whomped anyway, and then you did it. You know, his favorite statement, you can do it with or without a spanking. Your decision. I'll give you either. Didn't take me too long watching my brother get beat. He said, I'm not going through that. Or I'm going to be slicker than he is. Amen? Communication needs to be based on truth, not opinion. Be careful in a husband-wife relationship that you push for your opinion way too much. Did you know there are certain areas my wife will ask my opinion, but I'll tell her this is my opinion, but it doesn't really matter to me? There's times I'll say, honey, I've got an opinion about this. I'd at least like you to hear it. But if you don't, it's okay, even if she doesn't agree with me. But you know what? I'm not going to push for my way just because it's my idea. Some of you think you're God's gift to the world because it's your idea. God help us. My wife has protected me, and my secretary and others throughout the years have protected me because I thought I had the world's greatest idea, and it was going to flop like a lead balloon. Say, why? Do you ever notice the news is not based on truth? There are tens of millions of people who now have an opinion about whether this officer in North Charleston, South Carolina is guilty or innocent. And none of us have enough facts to make a decision. What do you do in making a decision? You saw 12 seconds of a 3-minute, or actually a 12-minute dispatch. I've listened to all 12 minutes of the actual police dispatch. I have a lot of questions. Listen to this statement. Did you know there's two words that would have kept the whole thing from happening? Yes, sir. You know, the guy changed the story four times before the officer even ran his license. He didn't have registration, did not have insurance, told him he bought the car, told him he didn't buy the car, but he was buying the car. Then now you got a guy that's sitting there and he's got warrants for his arrest in a car that's not registered to him with no insurance, no title, no nothing. Can't you see why there was a little question? He did apply non-lethal force first. I'm not saying he's innocent. I'm saying we don't know yet. Before you judge what the news wants you to see, why don't we wait for all of the evidence to come out? Everybody doing all right? By the way, I know those streets. My wife and I lived a third of a mile from there in Hawthorne City. I've been on Craig Street and have converts that used to live on Craig Street. It was less than a mile from the church. I've been on those streets. Brother and Mrs. Hawkins have been on those streets. I know them quite well. Before you judge, why don't we get all the facts? Boy, that's a good statement. Our news is non-fact-worthy. Facebook is not real, et cetera, et cetera. And I got to hurry. Lastly, we need to learn to communicate with ourselves. You say, what do you mean? Let me show you. I'm going to read one verse to you, Psalm 4:4, and if you can get there quick, great, but if not, as soon as I get there, I'm reading it, and I am there. So Psalm 4:4, here we go. The Bible says, stand in awe and sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Can I tell you something? Most people in this world today do not know how to be honest with themselves. Do you know you can convince yourself that doing wrong is right anytime you want? Oh, I can look at that. It's not going to bother me. Oh, I can go there one time. It won't hurt anything. Oh, I could talk this way one time. It won't bother me. Oh, I could try that once. It won't be that appealing to me that I would go do it again. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I could converse this way on social networking because nobody else would know and it won't hurt me. It's not real anyway. Why don't you just be honest with yourself? Look yourself square in the face and say, hey, jerk, quit doing that. That's how I have to talk to me, just so you know. We need to learn to be honest with ourselves. We need to learn to tell ourselves to obey. There are days I don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to do. I know that's a shock to you, right? Did you know there are days I really don't want to do some of the things I got to do? But I tell myself, you're going to do it anyway. You're going to do it anyway. Say why? Because that's what you're supposed to do. Well, I doubt your sincerity. Well, who are you to judge my sincerity? I don't even like my sincerity sometimes, but I still do what I'm supposed to do. Anyway, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him guide us so that we'll do what He tells us to do. Let me finish. I'm done. Let me finish by saying this. Two statements. I'm totally done. Our communication with God is key to this whole thing. Did you know that if your communication this way with God is right, that your communication this way with your fellow man will be right? Yes, sir. Did you know when this communication is right, Communication between your spouse will be right. Do you know that when your communication this way is right, your communication with your children is right? Do you know when your communication this way is right, your communication with your parents is right? Say why? Because as you get your communication with God right, he says, let me help you communicate to everybody else. Everybody doing all right? By the time, Brother Mike, I get a little twisted in my thinking and think, that crazy woman I'm married to, why is she doing that? I always tell myself, where am I not right with you? Maybe I need to talk to you for a while because I'm pushing somewhere way too hard because she's not that way. And usually I find out my communication up is not right, so my communication out is not right. Well, I told her. Well, you might have told her, but she didn't get it. That's not her fault. Maybe it's because your communication up there wasn't right. Everybody doing all right? So, your walk with God is the most important part of communication. When you get this communication right, this communication will take care of itself. I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Let me ask you a question, husband and wife. Mom, dad, child, employee, friend. How's your communication? How is your communication?